The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
Hi.
How's it going?
I know. We both have a growing headache.
We do.
Mine subsided a bit.
I've taken two Advil. I really took us on a ride with the laptop situation.
Yes. Kennedy texted me. She texted me once, twice, three, four, five times. And I didn't even get a chance to open my phone. And it was a roller coaster of a text. It was like,
I'm going to have to postpone.
Yes. And I was like, okay. Well, and I was just like rolling in my head. I was like, okay. And then it was like, I can't find my laptop. I don't know where it is. Oh my God, I found it. I will be there right away. See you soon. It was like within like 10 seconds of each other.
Because to be fair, I took you on a ride, but I also took myself on a ride. I got home, was like, can't find my laptop. Don't know exactly where it is. That's okay. That's fine. I'll find it right before I leave. And then I couldn't because I've been traveling. It was in a weird bag, this whole thing. And then I immediately found it. But I was ready to just give up and lie down.
And we could have recorded on something else, but...
That's absolutely true.
I have a laptop as well.
I was not ready to problem solve. I was ready to lie face down. Yep. Yeah, exactly. But here we are. We're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute for us.
Yeah, because you went on a long trip. I did. I didn't think you were coming back.
I know. A lot of people just assumed I would just stay gone, which seems like something I would do.
Like, none of us questioned it. None of us were sad.
I think you guys had all mentally and emotionally prepared for me to just never show back up. So sometimes when we take like a week off recording... It feels like months. Right now, I feel like we were here yesterday.
I know. It's so bizarre.
So weird.
Like, I don't think I've seen you for 3 weeks. But yeah, it feels like you were here last weekend.
I know. Time. It's just a construct.
It really is at this point.
Made up as fuck. Speaking of time, they should have waited until the end of time, aka never, to make this film.
I don't even want... I'm avoiding talking about it.
I felt like we had to do our due diligence and talk about it, but I actually regret that.
I know.
It's not good.
Because you were... I had watched it, texted you immediately, and was like, it is awful. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, maybe we should do this movie. And I was like, I don't know. And you had this conversation. I was like, yeah, you're right. And then we were like, let's do this. Did you watch it at that point yet?
No.
And I was like, no, I can't. And the reviews online are awful. I thought it was awful. Yeah. I still do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, we haven't talked about it other than it's awful.
All I had seen was a couple tweets about it, and they were all so comical that I assumed... It would at least be entertaining in a bad way. And it wasn't even that.
I saw a lot of tweets and like reviews and stuff that this movie would be good without Leatherface. Just a different character. Like,
I think the expectations are too high with this. Yes,
because it's supposed to be an actual direct sequel to the original.
It was supposed to be a retcon. Like, we were supposed to forget everything that had happened. Because there's been 9 installments. Yes.
So it's like, forget it.
And just, this is it.
Yeah. And absolutely, I will do the opposite. Mm-hmm. Forget this. And I will live through those other 9 movies if I have to.
Absolutely.
And I won't go back and watch the 70s. But I will stand by those till the end of time.
At least there was a reason for them being not bad. Because they are not bad. But at least you have like a, oh, it's aged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feeling about it. This was just... Bad in every form.
They just tried way too hard.
So fucking hard.
And like, there were so many missteps that make no sense in the plot. Mm-hmm. Like within the Texas Chainsaw universe, as we know, I don't even know what they were trying to accomplish.
It seems like we're hot and heavy and ready to just get into it.
What is the plot? Tell me.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Like, do you have any horror news or anything you wanted to discuss?
There's just so many new movie trailers that have popped up.
There really is. We just watched a couple. Is there anything that really stood out to you? I quite liked the one with Sandra Oh.
Yes. I think it's called...
Oma.
Oma or Uma.
Yeah.
Which is Korean for mother. Looks great.
There is something about Sandra Oh that I find just absolutely enchanting. I love her.
She's just like... an all-around, like, enthralling actress in everything that she does.
She is so entertaining. She's so talented. She's beautiful. She's just... There's something about her that feels grounded and intelligent, and I just... I love it.
I think the thing that makes me love her is she cares about her characters and how they are portrayed.
Absolutely. Have you ever watched Killing Eve?
I watched the first season when it came out, and then now what? We're about to do season five?
Season four actually just premiered yesterday.
Which is the last season, mm-hmm, I believe. Really need to watch it all because I loved the first season. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen that show on Netflix that she's in.
The limited series where she was a professor. Yes. I watched it. She was the best part about it. Right. But like, it wasn't my favorite thing. Okay. It just wasn't really my genre though.
Fair.
Yeah.
Is it just like drama?
Yeah, it's a drama, but it's also just very gray, like tonally. And I just found it to be a little bit like one note. So there was that trailer. What else did we watch?
We watched a trailer for The Exorcism of God.
Mm-hmm. Looked interesting.
It looks like, I don't know, like a B-list horror movie.
Very standard looking.
Like, I will watch it at home, mm-hmm, but I was like enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I showed you a clip from the first televised exorcism that was on NBC in 1971. They're making a movie called True Haunting. Mm-hmm. And it's based on that case. Could be interesting, but I feel like it's going to be another Conjuring where it's going to be amped up to like level 100, mm-hmm, overdone. And then we're going to have an influx of like those type of movies.
Yeah.
Ones that we haven't watched today, but I want to talk about, the Nope trailer came out from Jordan Peele.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched it yet? No. Okay, we're going to have to take a pause. And then also the trailer for Men.
I loved. Looks really good to me.
It looks great.
Did you watch The Lost Daughter?
No, the Maggie Gyllenhaal one.
Yeah, with Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
The main woman in Men plays a younger Olivia Colman. It was the first thing I'd ever seen her in, and she was very good. I'm quite excited for it just to see her.
I've just seen mixed reviews about the Maggie Gyllenhaal movie. Why can't I? Lost Daughter?
The Lost Daughter. It was fine. It was a drama. It felt exactly like what I thought it was going to feel like. Good writing.
It's like nominated for a lot of Oscars, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what else is in the Oscar category right now?
Licorice Pizza?
No, but yes. Okay. It's they have a fan favorite right now.
Okay.
Option. So it's online voting through Twitter and through, if you're in the United States, you can vote online on their website. Malignant.
Really?
Is in the top like 10 fan favorites right now for an Oscar.
While I was gone, my roommate watched it and she texted me.
She texted me too.
I don't know. People don't like, I loved it.
I know. I think it's grown on me.
Yeah.
I definitely will watch it again, like not anytime soon, but in the future.
I put it on actually the other day while I was cooking and I turned it off. Not because I didn't think it was good, but because I forgot that the beginning is so different from how it ends up. And I just didn't feel like going through the motions.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Licorice Pizza in like 2 seconds.
Okay. You want to watch the trailer for?
For Nope.
Well, that looks absolutely incredible.
That comes out 3 days before my birthday, so we will go for a good old birthday movie. Because I love to do that. I love to do a double feature on my birthday.
There's just something about his movies that are just so visually appealing.
And also, like, the writing is so good. I just love them. I really need to rewatch Us.
Me too.
Because I've only seen it once in the theater.
I've seen Get Out a number of times.
Me too.
I bought it on DVD and I've watched it a lot, but Us, I need to rewatch, I think. I find it really hard when I'm watching something where somebody is manipulating their voice in a way that sounds raw. Mm. So, like, they do at the end of Us. Like, those things can't really talk. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to watch. Like, it physically pains me.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, do we want to get into the plot?
Yeah, because I want to avoid Licorice Pizza.
I have the plot written down, but quite honestly, I think I'm just going to, like, walk us through it from memory because I don't think you guys need me to really read this through and through.
Yeah, there's not like crucial moments in this at all.
So essentially we meet our four main characters. Five?
A number of characters.
We meet our main group of characters at a gas station in Texas. They are going to this new town. It's actually an old town. It's a ghost town. They're going to this ghost town that they have discovered that they have bought out, essentially. And what they're doing is on this day, they're all going to be in this town and all of their potential investors are going to come and see this town. And it's a group of like very, very young millennial, almost like Gen Z teetering. Mm-hmm. People who have bought out this town, and what they want to do is create sort of like a utopia for people in their age range who are sick and tired of hustle and bustle life in the city, who are going to come out and create a life, sort of like a commune style life in this small ghost town and like buy out these buildings. So they get there and the town should have been cleared out, should have been bought out. Everybody who had been there should have been bought out by the bank. And they're exploring and they go into this old, what is branded an old orphanage. and they meet this woman who is in this orphanage, and she tells them she's an old woman that she
says, I'm an old woman.
I am old, and this is my house.
And my town.
And I am not leaving.
And if you dare think you're going to take it from me, you're going to fight me.
Basically. And so then they call the cops. They get the cops to come, or the sheriff. The sheriff,
yep.
Because there's always a sheriff.
Well, because it's like kind of the way that it looks like the town that they're buying is an old Hollywood film set.
Yeah.
Like an old Western.
It's essentially
like if you picture like the saloon and you have like your little brewery tap place, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yes.
Dusty.
Mm-hmm. Old general store.
Yes.
If there's an orphanage on the main drag,
it's old.
So the sheriff comes and is like, you can't be here. And as they're trying to clear her out, she profusely vomits, gets very ill. And this man comes lumbering down the stairs, kind of like, what the fuck are you doing with my mom style? And they put her into an ambulance. The one girl who originally goes into the house feels like she has to go because she sort of brought this on to this old woman.
She doesn't go into an ambulance.
I mean, doesn't matter. She goes into a sheriff's van.
Yes, because there's no ambulance for 40 miles.
Right.
Or
so
a hospital.
She goes into the sheriff's vehicle and they're going to take her to a hospital. But they have nothing with them to help her. One of the girls is like, hey, no, you need to stay behind for the investors. I'll go with them. So the sheriff's and this one girl.
Also, why? You don't need to go with them.
This was my number one pet peeve. You know what? We'll get into it. It's fine. It's fine. I have so many notes about things that I hated. So she goes with them. Essentially, the one old woman dies on the way, and this starts everything. So we find out that the lumbering man from the orphanage is Leatherface.
Who she also calls her son.
Right.
Which is not her son.
Mm-mm. So she dies. He decides to be wilding out in these streets. He kills everybody who's in this vehicle. And then he goes back to the town to wreak absolute havoc.
Yes.
And essentially, that's just what happens.
Mm-hmm. There's no, like, other defining point. At one point, we find out, like, the sheriff was kind of evil at one point, but then helps them out. That's, like, whatever. The leather face that he takes, well, the face he takes is his mom's. Or the orphanage. That's kind of whatever.
When Leatherface kills everybody in the sheriff's vehicle, he pulls his quote-unquote mother out of the vehicle, skins her face off, puts her face on his face, and that's what he's wearing for the rest of the movie. Pivotal plot points would be that the girl who's in the vehicle radios in, and it is heard in a gas station. The guy from the gas station radios out to another person who happens to be Sally Hardesty, who is our main final girl from the original 1973 movie, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So the original Sally Hardesty, who is actually not played by that original actress because she has since passed in 2014, she comes out to the town to have her final revenge with Leatherface, because one of the storylines is basically that she became a ranger in that area in order to find him and get her revenge, and she's never been able to find him. So
I don't even want to get into it.
So she comes to the town. Leatherface is killing everybody. He kills all the investors on a scene in a bus.
Which was pretty good.
It was, actually. I will say that the one thing that this movie has going for it is that the gore is actually pretty great.
Like, in the scene where Leatherface kind of, like, comes to and back into his own, after the mother dies in the back of the sheriff's car, he grabs one of the sheriff's wrists and snaps it and then uses it to stab him in the neck. And it was brilliant.
That is the first moment, I have a note when I was keeping notes in the movie, that is the first moment that there's a death, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be one of those movies.
Yes.
Like, at this point there has been nothing, and Leatherface just reaches across the vehicle, grabs the guy's wrist, snaps it,
his, like, bone pushes his, like,
protrudes out.
Yes. Ugh.
And then he stabs himself in the neck, or he stabs the guy in the neck with his own
wrist bone.
Loves to see it.
It was so good.
So good. So then, he kills everybody on the bus, and we have our two final characters, and they are sisters.
Also, sorry, just a quick prior. So Sally comes for her revenge, and guess what? Leatherface picks her up and just guts her.
It's so anticlimactic.
It's such a letdown.
She is in the movie for maybe a collective 3.5 minutes. finding the original vehicle where Leatherface has started his massacre, mm-hmm. her getting into town, getting the two sisters, who are the two survivors so far, into the vehicle. She gets out of the vehicle. She's like, here we go, Leatherface. And he says, not today, Sally. And that is it.
Yeah. And then she wakes up at one point, shoots him, and then that's it.
And he doesn't die.
Nope. Does she die? Who knows? Probably.
Yeah, she's dead. He gutted her. The fact that she woke up 5 minutes later all? Is absolutely implausible at best. So there's two sisters remaining. And
both of them are awful.
Terrible. Well, let's give the one girl some credit because she was absolutely not. She was in a school shooting. One of the many social justice issues that's shooed into this movie is that the younger sister survived a school shooting. The only purpose that serves.
It sounds like this movie's literally like, we'll pull one thing from here, we'll pull one thing from here, and we're going to put it into a movie.
Racism, Confederate flag, school shooting.
Yeah.
And the only thing that the school shooting actually lends to is that she has a conversation with a mechanic who lives in town.
Who shares a cigarette with her.
Her sister thinks they fucked. I didn't even think she was old enough to fuck. I also didn't think she seemed straight.
I also didn't think that she seemed fuckable.
Yeah. That's not where I was leaning, but yeah, she didn't seem fuckable. I just thought she seemed like a little androgynous.
Yeah, like she just maybe seems a little asexual.
And it's not that androgynous people can't fuck who they want to fuck. They absolutely can. I just wasn't getting the vibe that she was going to fuck the mechanic from town.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be a mess, and I'm leaning in.
It's still going to be better than the actual movie.
Absolutely it is, and it's going to be shorter. I will, one thing, hour and 27 minutes. Love to see it.
It was so great. The fact that it ended.
So basically, he kills Sally.
Yep.
The two sisters think they kill him. They jump into their self-driving vehicle. They go to drive out of town. The very last minute, Leatherface pulls the oldest sister out, saws her head off, and then he does like the final Leatherface move where we see him swinging the chainsaw around with the sister's head as the self-driving vehicle drives the younger sister out of town as she looks on. And that is that on that. That was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. I don't think I left anything out.
No. There was a post-credit scene. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
What was it?
He walks with his chainsaw to the old farmhouse.
Nice. So one thing I find interesting about this movie is that though I hated every minute of it, I made a promise to myself when we started this podcast that no matter how much I hated a movie, I would watch it in its entirety and I would focus. I did not do this with this movie. I did watch it in its entirety, but I was in and out on that focus.
I definitely was focused. I went to the cabin with my cat and our friends, and we watched it mm-hmm. just like as our first night at the cabin movie. Like, let's chill. Let's put on a movie. We were like, oh, it came out. Like, let's watch it. And so I did watch it all, but I was just like, oh. And it was like so funny. It was just like a good laugh movie too.
I did not get that, but I watched it by myself.
Fair. Certain scenes that like made me laugh. When Leatherface kicks one of the sisters down the stairs, boots her.
That was
hilarious. Mm-hmm. I laughed so hard. I don't remember what the other part where I laughed at, but it was just like,
when they were live streaming him from the bus.
Ugh.
I didn't laugh at that, but I sure did laugh when he killed the people who were live streaming him, because how obnoxious. And just once again, how can we just shoehorn in modern day touches
to
this out of touch film?
It didn't work.
No. Oh, I was going to say, one thing I do find interesting about this movie, though, as shit as it was, there were some scenes aesthetically, some shots that I loved.
Yes, the coloring in the movie itself, beautiful. Really great. But yeah, some of the shots, like even the one, even though it's kind of cheesy, and I think I might use it as the Instagram post for this episode, is when he's holding the face up to the sun in that like dead sunflower field. And it's just like this like red like skin. And I was like, this is so cool. I really found that like pleasing to look at.
When he sort of emerged from the dead sunflowers.
Yes.
Field. I thought that was a great shot. I also had a moment of fulfilling nostalgia when they did the shot of the gas station from the original movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But interestingly enough, this movie was shot in Bulgaria. You are taking your time on this one.
Like Bulgaria?
Bulgaria, Bulgaria, not Texas. It was not shot anywhere near the original.
I have nothing. What?
Yeah, I don't know why. I could have looked it up, but I didn't.
I don't care to know.
I don't care to know either, but it is true.
That's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. I guess? Sure. I mean, you did it.
They did it. It looked great. Could have fooled me.
I believed it was Texas.
It was not.
So a couple things that I didn't realize is that, so this is supposed to be a direct sequel to the 1974 version.
It is.
Which means, realistically, Leatherface should be 75. Because Sally is also, like, in her 70s.
That woman looked weathered and worn.
Yes.
But if she did not have that hair, she would have been stunning.
True. It did look like a bad wig.
It did.
But how are these two? Here's a couple of things. Sorry.
The same age.
How are they still fighting and kicking in the streets?
Also, it's weird to me.
He does not look like he's 70, but he should be. Because he's probably, like, honestly, like, in his 30s in the original.
Yeah, but she also looks like she's 75 in this one. So what is their age difference? Because presumably he should be, like, probably 10 years older than her.
Yeah, so he's probably, like, maybe in his 80s. How is he bulldozing people and wielding a chainsaw in hot, dusty Bulgaria?
To me, it has the same problem as Halloween. It's the Michael Myers of it all. It's lost its mystique. It's not fucking scary anymore.
No. And I feel like this movie was trying so hard to revive itself into what Halloween has become. It feels like it's supposed to be this rebirth, and they didn't do a good job of it. Mm-hmm. But I know we talked about this, but you could put any antagonist in this role, and it would just be the same movie.
100%.
It's just a man with a chainsaw.
They did not pay homage. There was no honoring of the original movie in this whatsoever.
And if they did, it was show, kill, gone. Right. Like, it was, like, over like that.
You know what else I find interesting is, like, so they tried to modernize it with these topics. So when they come into town, the woman in the orphanage has a Confederate flag.
Yes.
The girl who survives the school shooting, she has the conversation with the mechanic. There's these undertones of these very current political topics, but the only person that they pay any sort of, like, sympathy to in those conversations is the more ignorant, quote-unquote ignorant, townies. With the Confederate flag thing, they overly let the old woman explain how she only has it because it's honoring her daddy, that she's actually never really learned what it's about and how she actually cared for Black people and she loves them. And then with the school shooting, it's all about how he's like, well, I'll teach you how to use a gun. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that?
It's because I think this movie is made for boomers. Mm-hmm. It's poking fun at everything that they make fun of as us as younger individuals and, like, kind of, like, giving these, like, guns are fine if you know how to use them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know what the Confederate flag was because I don't care to learn. It's for that group is what this movie is for. When you really, really think about it, unfortunately.
Maybe you're right.
And that's why none of us like it.
Maybe that's a good point. They made it not for the younger, because I feel like the Halloweens have sort of, like, tried to pick themselves up to make versions for a younger generation.
But also while maintaining, like, the original and, like,
continuing the story.
Like, drawing it, it's a mix of both drawing in the old audience and, like, bringing a new audience in.
Right.
Where this one targeted towards a young audience, but it failed and it's going to do well with an older audience.
Interesting. That is a perspective.
But not for the older audiences who loved the original.
Right. I find it so unsatisfying when they bring back a character like a Sally who is beloved, has been beloved since 1973 as, like, one of the original final girls. And they're like, hey, Sally and Leatherface have met up once again. They get 25 seconds of screen time together. Screen time. Hey.
Well, works.
They get 25 seconds of screen time together, and he immediately kills her.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we love that these characters are infallible, that they don't die.
I wonder if they did that just because they didn't want to taint the, like, original actress not being in it, but at the same time, don't bring her back. With technology today, we have, like, so much things that you could just reuse. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, we should absolutely mention that actress was named number 22 on the best actresses from Ireland, because we have 1.1% of our listenership is in Ireland. So that this one's for you.
Listen, I love Ireland right now. Another thing that, like, I saw online, which makes a great point, is that Leatherface was a tool that his family was using. they were more of like the true evil.
Preach.
And that he was just like the simple-minded person who like had these like scars of his family where they were the ones capable of like pushing him.
Right.
Where this is like he's just seeking revenge on this woman who's not his mother.
Right. And that's the other thing is like, what is his connection? Okay, so in the first movie, he's in his 30s.
Yes.
And he lives with this family.
Who's presumably his, like, maybe biological family.
How the fuck does a 30-year-old end up in an orphanage?
And hide there for 50 years.
This is maybe the most angry we've ever been.
I feel like we were angry at another movie.
Oh, The Green Inferno.
Oh.
It just seems weird. Like, it just seems unrealistic to me that he is hid as an adult.
And people have just been like, he's gone.
And that he formed this bond with this woman. Like, I know that we're supposed to understand on some level that Leatherface has an intellectual disability.
Yes.
It still doesn't make any sense with the storyline.
No. So, like, what? So, hypothetically, the first one ends.
Right.
He's swinging around the chainsaw and Sally's driving away.
And he's like, I gotta go get taken care of in an orphanage?
By a woman who I have no... Like, his family's still there.
Ginny. Like, his family didn't die in the first one, did they?
I don't remember.
Okay, I said that so boldly, and suddenly I'm like, I could be very wrong.
Sorry, we're just meant to believe that they live within blocks of each other for 50 years and she has not seen sighting of him?
This also drove me fucking nuts. There's two people left in this town.
So there's four. There is a mechanic. There is a sheriff. There is an old woman who runs an orphanage. There is an orphan. And then there is Sally, who is the park ranger within the desert.
And what fucking park? She's never fucking seen any of the four citizens in the area that she patrols. Sally, where the fuck have you been?
I am upset. I am upsetty spaghetti.
Can I just run you through the notes I took throughout the movie? Number one. I already agree with whatever townie kills these assholes. That was within the first 4 minutes. Why did any of them have to go in the ambulance? This was a completely unnecessary storyline. They did not need to do it. The only purpose that it served to have that girl in the vehicle was for somebody to call in so that Sally would know, which any of the sheriffs could have reasonably done, and that character could have not existed at all.
Yes.
Get fucked. First death... Oh, okay. It's one of those movies, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that it was going to be like that level of kind of campy gore. Did like it, though. That's the one point I'll give this movie.
Yes.
School shooting plot? Unlikely, why? But okay. Okay, the OG gas station kind of got my dick hard. Not going to lie about that. Loved it.
There was another place, sorry, that was named like Hooper Pub.
Mm.
And it was just like in a back place or whatever. And it was supposed to be
nice.
A little homage.
Love the shot where he looks up from the dead sunflowers.
Yes.
Big old dyke energy from my girl Sally. Probably exactly what I would be like if I never learned to love.
With better hair and a greater ass.
Thank you. Final note. All right, Sally's dead. I'm out.
One thing that I still want to talk about, just like favorites, and I know we briefly mentioned it, but that bus sequence went hard in a different way.
It really did.
It's just like the colors were nice and it was cool and like there was nowhere to go for those people except keep pushing backwards. I wish that the girls hadn't been in there.
Right. The sisters were in there and they had locked themselves in the bathroom.
And they slowly pushed their way to the back. But like that chainsaw was working overtime.
I was just going to say.
How does it not get... Sorry. Another couple of things. One, how does that chainsaw not get rusty over 50 years? You have not touched it. You're not cutting down trees. You're not cutting down bodies. Maybe that's why the town's empty. Where do you get gasoline, sir? Do you just have some kicking around? Also, how have you cut through 700 bodies and it is still razor sharp? Leatherface.
This is my question.
Mr. Face.
I'm supposed to believe that this motherfucker gets on a bus and just in one fell swoop kills 30 people. As if there's not going to be muscle, bone, hair, ligaments on this chainsaw that prevents him. Like, at the very least, by the end, it's dull. Like, someone's losing an arm, but they're not dying.
That woman who got sawed in half hanging out of the bus, it would have taken probably 5 minutes by the time that he got to her. But you know what? He is a 75-year-old football player at this point, so...
I really liked the death where he put the chainsaw through the one guy and then backed it into a corner and then just the rest of the little chainsaw that was poking out went through the girl in the corner.
Oh, that was good.
Very good.
Do you know what also I just remembered in the bus?
Huh?
Is there was a character who said... try anything and you're canceled, bro. Do you remember? Was it in a bus? Oh my God.
That's a real fuck around and find out.
It's so, so deep.
So deep.
It really gets on another level. And he was like, you're right. You're live streaming. Leatherface is like, I own up.
That really takes me back to the quote that really sums up how I feel about this movie. Valerie Complex for Deadline Hollywood. The real horror here is the modernizing of content by merging social media, social issues, and Twitter buzzwords in a careless fashion that makes it hard to latch onto anything substantial at all. Go off, Valerie.
It's so true, though. It's so true, bestie. One of my favorite things that I found on Reddit about this movie was a comment somebody made. And they said that it felt like a video game from the early 2000s where you could only enter three buildings and the rest was background texture. And you know the exact video games.
I do. And you know that every building in that town was absolutely fucking fake. There was like not a thing in there.
No. Western movies where it's just the front and they walk in and it's just set.
You can knock that shit down.
Let's also talk about quickly that scene where he dies in the water.
Yeah.
He's an Olympic swimmer now.
What was that even about? Because he just got right back up.
Yeah, he said, I'm in.
He's like, oh, I'm 75, but guess what? I can stay underwater for 3 minutes. I can't stay underwater for 30 seconds. I never learned to swim, though, so that's
There's so much struggle with this movie, but it's been so much fun to, like, just bitch about.
I have nothing good to say.
No.
Outside of some great shots, loved the gore, was not even entertained enough by it to recommend it.
No. The only person I said...
better shitty movies.
I didn't even recommend it to you.
No,
you didn't. You fully pulled it out.
To be fair, you absolutely did not recommend it to me. And you even questioned when I said, I think we need to do it. You were like, do we?
I think I said, no. I want to go see what I said. On Sunday, you texted me, I'm 10 minutes into Texas Chainsaw. And the problem with this movie is I can't wait for all these people to die.
Yes.
Do you know also this is the first Texas Chainsaw movie where chainsaw is one word?
Interesting.
All the other movies are chainsaw as two words.
As a copywriter, that annoys the fuck out of me because there are liberties you can take if you need to in writing, but you have to have consistency.
Oh, we were trying to figure out what movie to do. And you said, oh, we should probably do the new Texas Chainsaw. And I said, I'm scared. What an awful movie. And you said, that's so funny, though. We just get to shit on this one. And you know what? I said... that's so true.
I just wanted to have a good time, you know?
Sorry. And then I said, you said Tuesday after work, which is right now. And I said, that works for men.
Should we rate it?
I want to.
Okay.
Story.
Fuck no. There wasn't one.
There wasn't any. It's a zero.
Zero.
Negative one. Give me something.
For real.
Unsettling?
No.
No.
I didn't. There was not a moment of this movie that scared me.
Nope.
Minus. Scary.
Like, they owe me one.
They owe me an hour and 27 minutes of my life back, is what they owe me.
Yes. We're getting very aggressive in our body language towards each other, and it's kind of frightening me.
I wish everybody could see.
You just became so tense, and your arm shot right at me, and I was like, she has a gun or something.
My hand is a gun.
Your arms. We are on a different level.
Scary. It's not.
We already said
scary. We already said it. What the fuck else is
story?
It? We did that. Is it just...
it's negative ones across the board.
Yeah. Is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre?
It deserves not even a paper cut.
It's like my period. Like, it's bound to happen, but I don't want it. And it's not nearly as unexpected or horrifying as a paper cut.
Wow. Can't relate. Slam poetry. Anyways.
What's that on that? I mean, I guess you guys can find us on TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram at Podcastacre. Leave us a rating or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Listen, I think I'm the only one who's rated it on Spotify, so I need people to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, until next time.
The face of madness unfortunately returns.